How's everybody doing? Better now. Did anyone have anything from the Lord? Like a word of knowledge or anything?
Can I tell something about the new sound that we have? Julie Myers. She started in the house of prayer down in Kansas City. Yeah, it was really powerful. She was saying how the Lord, He is doing a new song for each one of us. And that we are to tune in and see what kind of a new song we have. She talks about the science of it and how she does better than I do, so I'm just going to give you the quick version. How the mind, the right lobe, the left lobe, and the back lobe, they all join in one, and we become one as we sing, and we remember the songs better than if you were to recite words. It just works together like that really well. One example is when I went down to Kansas City many years ago with a group of young students from when I was at the prayer room here in town. We were coming back and we were trying to memorize the fruits of the Spirit. So Mariah, she did some study with music, and she had mentioned how it's easier to remember if you put it into a song. Yeah. So the fruits of the Spirit, I still remember how it went, and we ended up coming up with this little tune called Love, Joy, Peace, Patience, Kindness, Goodness, Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I remember that. And so it's just cool. I just encourage each one of you to listen to it. And if anyone would like to have it, I would need your email. So maybe a topic for discussion sometime on down the road.
How many... You saw the opening ceremonies last night of the Olympics?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was amazing.
I was watching it and wading through the parade of nations. Some of these countries, I'm like, this is actually a country? You have one athlete here? I've never even heard of you. But anyway, I was watching it, and toward the Korea came in very last. They're the host nation, and the big story was this is the first time that North Korean athletes have been invited to join South Korea and participate under one flag.
Wow.
And because North Korea has never been, you know, invited to play in the games. And so everyone was talking about how this was going to be, like, everyone's on the edge of their seat and everything. And so then Korea marched out at the very end, and everyone is, like, standing, cheering, clapping. And I had this thought, and then suddenly it was like, this is a prophetic declaration taking place right in front of my eyes. I told Jan that, and then I started tearing up. Like, what they were doing in the natural, I believe God is doing in the spiritual behind the scenes. And we will see Korea come together. And it was just like one of those, like, I was watching it and just trying to take it in. two countries at war with each other, wearing the same uniform, one flag, and you look at them and you could not tell which one's north, which one's south. And I was asking the Lord about it, and he said, can I not heal a nation? Let's pray for them right now.
Yes.
Father, we do prophesy right now the healing of Korea.
Yes.
That there would no longer be a north and a south, but one nation, united, at peace with one another, being economically stable, where there's freedom enjoyed by everyone. Yes, and we do believe that you can heal a nation. That's not too hard for you.
Yes.
So that's our prayer and our prophecy tonight, that Korea would become one.
Yes.
There would be no more division, no more war, no more atrocities.
Yes.
Peace would come to the north. They would be integrated into one country. Everyone enjoying peace and freedom and prosperity.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you took the dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
You came in as peace between the two. And Lord, I just see a picture of you pushing down a wall. So I say yes, let the wall come down. Let the wall come down, whether it be in the spirit or the natural. Let it come down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
I read this article by this guy this week, and he said, kingdom-minded people see God in everything. There's no place that's off limits. No place he's not working, no place that he isn't. So even in the darkest, worst situations, he is there in the midst of it, working. He gave the example of Paul when he went to wherever it was, Corinth, Ephesus, and saw all the statues to all the different gods, and until he found the one, the statue to the unknown God. And he's like, that's where God is.
Yes.
And he told the people about it.
Yeah.
See, there was something else. What do you guys want to do tonight?
I had a praise report.
Yeah.
Three things. One was I went to a blood specialist about my blood clot thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to him, and he was very nice and explained everything to me. And I've been trying to wean myself off my medications and stuff, and it's kind of funny because he said, I looked at the scan and did this, they did that. And he says, I think it was more like just a deep skin reaction to some infection or something. And he felt it, so there's just barely a trace of whatever was there. The trunk down the next to nothing. And he says, and we did a test, and you don't have the family genetic thing that you have a blood problem that your blood thickens and stuff. I've been to a lab before that we did.
Yeah.
He said, no, the test came back negative.
Praise
I'm going to talk to Dr. Brewer about taking you off of your blood thinners because you don't need them. That was one thing. And then I got my electric bill a couple days ago, and I was like, the end of the month, and bills are tight, or money's tight again. So I opened it up, and it said $1.41 or something. And I said, huh? I said, this has got to be a misprint or a joke or something. And so I read it to find out what it was about, and apparently I've just been with him so long that they decided to put my deposit for my payment.
Amen. Like the snow.
Like the snow. Like the snow.
Like the snow.
In abundance.
Yeah, more than enough, right?
Yeah.
I have 4 feet of snow on the other side of my sidewalk. I have more than enough. I can share.
Yeah.
I have a little story. It's just kind of funny. It's how the Lord works with me. Our place, when you drive in, you have to drive down a road. The city stops and turns gravel. When you drive down a road, it takes a sharp left. And you drive 100 yards, and then you go around this roundabout where our apartment is, and there's a big lot, and I've been snow blowing the whole thing, you know. Was it Thursday or Friday when we had all the snow? And I got up about 5 o'clock, and I'm laying there, and I'm praying, and I'm just going, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this again. I'm just tired of it. It takes about an hour and 50 minutes to do it. And finally, I get up and get dressed, put on all my clothes and packs, and it's about 20 to 6. And I walk out my door, and there's a road grader at our mailbox with its lights on. And he had plowed past the city road. He had came all the way into our place. And, I mean, I've got a road this wide. It's all plowed. And then he backs out. And I just sat there and laughed. It was just like, oh, my God, this is, I mean, it's a whole road grader. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just had a chuckle.
The guy didn't know any better.
No, he was new. You know, they're contracting the city, so he just kept going. He kind of waved him on, but he didn't see me. I just looked at him and knew all the thing. It was pretty good.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
I got a text from Kathy Tout to Linda, and she said, pray for Eric and Katie, their son and daughter-in-law. She's 28 weeks pregnant, and... she had an ultrasound a couple days ago, and the doctor said there's a mass on the baby's right ventricle.
Ooh.
And she said they go in tomorrow at 2:30 for a fetal echocardiogram. I would say that. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, they're terrified. And so Mary and Rob were sitting there, and Mary said, well, Rob's little cousin, Grace, had a really serious heart condition when she was in the womb, and so they were really nervous, but they started praying over her and just declaring everything was going to be fine, and they went in back in for their echocardiogram or whatever it was that they did, and the doctor said, this baby is perfect. This baby could not be more perfect. That she... there was not a sign of anything, and he was so astounded that he asked if he could take the, you know, the thing to this conference he was going to, because he was just so amazed. So I sent that text back to Kathy and said, we're going to pray along those lines for a miracle like that. And she said, that's exactly what we're praying for. And then the next day she said, just in from Eric, thanks for praying, all clear, slightly bigger moderator band in the right ventricle than average, doc says no sign of tumors, all heart function normal, very relieved.
Yeah. So yay, Jesus.
Yeah.
We were in Helena this last weekend. Babysitting, kind of, and that's a job that can wear you out.
Yes.
My gosh. But we got over there Thursday, and we went out to dinner with Pastor Norma Corlin, and just kind of caught up. And Pastor Norm was working, well, he was kind of, you know, unemployed. So he started working for Enterprise, you know, rent a car, just shuttling cars to, you know, Billings for the auction, or too many cars in Helena, Bozeman needs a few, or something like that. So with a bunch of other guys just driving cars around. And so he said, this is the best thing that's ever happened to him. Because he's like working around unsaved people.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to be confined in a Christian bubble.
Yes.
Where, you know, You're around Christians all the time. You work with Christians. You associate with Christians. That's all you see, hear, talk to. They're your friends, everything. And so it's, you just become insulated from everyone else. And sometimes I don't think you even know it. So he said he loves it. He loves it. And they know he's a pastor, but he doesn't, you know, preach at them or anything. They just talk about life, and, you know, they, some of them really have very graphic language that they use in front of them and everything. And he said he's just, because, you know, when like two of you are in a car for 4 hours, it's kind of a captive audience. And he said these guys, you know, they'll talk about everything, life and problems, and it's really given them a lot of opportunities to just encourage them, pray for them, you know, whatever. And so he's loving it. Yeah, I'm just like, good for you. Good for you. Because I think when you've been a, you know, pastor of a church for forever, you know, and you just become, just oblivious to everyone else. Amen. I had a video, but then I lost the thumb drive somewhere, so it was a good little short Sean Bolts. Oh, well. Okay, here's a scripture, so we're legal. This is from the Passion Translation. 2 Timothy 2:14-16. Be committed to teach the believers all these things when you are with them in the presence of the Lord. Instruct them to never be drawn into meaningless arguments or tear each other down with useless words that only harm others. Always be eager to present yourself before God as a perfect and mature minister without shame, as one who correctly explains the word of truth. And avoid empty chatter and worthless words, for they simply add to the irreverence of those who converse in that manner. As one who correctly explains the word of truth. I've been thinking a lot the last couple of weeks. You know, part of it was, you know, after hearing Norm really talk about how he just loves being around the unsaved and just talking and doing life with them. I was thinking, how did you get in the position, the situation of isolation? I mean, it's easy to do. And then, I was thinking, is there a small group this week?
Yes, at
Heidi's house. Heidi's house this Tuesday, mm-hmm. 7. 6:45. Okay. But I was thinking, the last small group we had, and a lot of the conversation that was going on, and it really got me thinking how a number of people shared how they had, in the last year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it was, had really come to see a lot of the things that they believed, they no longer believed. Or some of them changed a little bit, or, you know, threw this out and picked this up, and really how, it's been kind of a journey to get there. I was like, yeah, I've been there. There's a lot of what I used to believe I don't believe anymore, and it's been replaced by other things. So then I started thinking, How did we all get in that position of believing one thing and now it's morphed into I believe this way now, or I no longer believe that at all, but you know, this is what I believe? And I was thinking, because I think, well, at least for you know most of the people in the room, it was similar. I was thinking, how did we get there? How did we get to the place of believing one thing and now I believe something else? If how many have heard this before? You've heard a sermon, whatever, and then at the end or somewhere in the middle, you hear, be like the Bereans. You know, and check out everything that I'm telling you to make sure that, you know, it's actually in the Bible and all that. I've heard that a lot. I was I always have these crazy thoughts. And I don't know how many people actually, you know, well, I'm going to go check and see if he's really telling the truth. But I wonder if someone actually like, well, I'm going to go see if that's actually what the Bible says. And they start digging and looking up at the original words and putting other scriptures together to get like, this is what it really means. And if they came back and said, oh, I did like what you said, you know, like the Bereans, and I didn't come up with the conclusion you did. I wonder if you would be called a heretic. Be like the Bereans and agree with me. We could have like a situation where two people have read a portion of scripture. You could say it's a doctrine, a topic, subject, whatever, and they come up with two completely different views of the same words on the page. And so now each of them build their lives around that particular truth and let that, you say, doctrine influence them, and they live their life by that doctrine. And Paul told Timothy, you know, make sure of your doctrine. And they could both be used that same scripture. You know, Paul said to Timothy, make sure of your doctrine. So I'm making sure of my doctrine. And well, this guy over here, he's like completely different than yours, but it's, you read the same words on the page. So who's right? Are they both partially right, partially wrong? I think there's, I can speak for myself. When I first got saved, I started attending church and I knew, you know, like 1%. I knew Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. You know, having been raised Catholic, you know, you know those certain things. So I knew that and I believed that, but you know, I didn't really know much else. So the person up in front, right here, I believed everything they said. You know, whatever came out of their mouth, I would be like, yeah, that's in the Bible, and yeah, they said it, so that must be what it means. And so I just believed what they said was true. And I'm not saying that, you know, 85% of what they said was false. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, and this is the truth. People teach what they've been taught. And we all do it. I do it. You know, I read a book. I listen to someone's podcast. I watch a video. I read scripture. You know, all these things to formulate, you know, this is the way I see it. What they said, yeah, that really makes sense. You know, take some of that and some of this. And yeah, this is, and everyone does it. At some point along the line, somebody had an original thought, I think. Because textbooks have been written. Bible schools, you know, they use textbooks, commentaries, all these things. And so basically, you go to Bible school, you're taught, and then you regurgitate what you've been taught. I think. I didn't go to Bible school, but I took online courses, and so I had textbooks and all of that. And so basically it's, this camp believes this, and you're taking class from us, and so this is what you're taught. And so you just like, okay, that's the truth, I guess. I think one of the most unfortunate things, in my opinion, this is my opinion, so you can disregard it if you don't like it. One of the worst things that's happened in the church is people have not been taught how to think for themselves. And I think from looking back of all my church-going years, we would go to what? Get fed.
Yeah.
Get fed. The person in the front is feeding me. And we never teach people how to feed themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's been devastating. And that's part of the whole relationship with Jesus, the individual, personal, intimate relationship with Him. We all understand, like, we can't have a relationship with Him through someone else, even though I think some people try. So there's this one-on-one intimacy that we're supposed to develop where He feeds us. Jesus said, the Spirit will lead you into all truth. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, like, don't listen to the guy up front, or girl, or the podcast, or this video, or the book. I'm not saying, like, don't do that. But I think the church needs to be taught how to hear, how to discern, how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The Holy Spirit can lead you to the truth, but He can't make you believe. I wrote a few thoughts down. Let's see. How many have heard this? The Bible is God's love letter to you. Have you ever heard that? You can find it in there. But if you take the whole Bible like it's God's love letter to you, there'll be parts that aren't really loving. And you'll be like, you want to go hide. Why is that? Because there's more than one covenant. And there hasn't been enough teaching on covenants. And I'm thinking, what point in history did the church get kind of sucked into Israel? Where we started like, oh, the Ten Commandments and all the laws and everything we've got to do. I'm like, because Paul is like so crystal clear in like Galatians especially, you know, the law is Hagar, the slave woman, kick her out. You're done with her. You're not a part of that. But somehow, you know, I mean, looking back, you know, I can only tell like from when I became a Christian and started hearing, there was like so much a mixture of law and grace. And so again, you believe and teach what you've been taught. And so I'm just thinking, like, how did that happen? When there was a very exacting delineation between the old covenant and the new. And the new says so many places, is nothing like the old. There's better promises and everything. But if whoever's teaching doesn't make that crystal clear, then we live in this muddied Christian existence where, you know, I need to perform just right. Otherwise, you know, is God going to be pleased with me? And it's like, I mean, that was like such an awakening for me when I finally understood the new covenant and grace and everything that Jesus did. And the new covenant is not between God and me, it's between God and Jesus. And I get to enjoy it because I'm put into Jesus. So if we don't understand that, you're constantly out here struggling, like, do I measure up? Have I done enough? You know, it's like, well, how much is enough? You know, there is no measuring stick. I may have heard this. Just follow the red letters of Jesus and you'll be fine. Please do not follow the red letters of Jesus. If you do, you will not be fine. But I've heard that I don't know how many times. And I had a Bible, the red letter version, where everything Jesus said is in red letters. So you knew, I mean, it was Jesus speaking. So it's like, man, when everything that Jesus says, we need to take to heart, you know, because Jesus is saying it. He was born under the law to those under the law. So there's like a bulk of a lot of the stuff he says in the Gospels is directly spoken to those under the law. So if you try and take it and it's like, well, Jesus said it, so I need to apply it. It's like, no, don't do that. You're going to end up in a bad spot. But, I mean, I heard that a lot, so it's just kind of like, okay, I mean, you know, I hope I don't have to gouge an eye out, but, you know, Jesus said it. You understand? And this is another one that I wish would be done differently. There's many. We see all the 40,000 denominations in Christianity, and they've all divided for some reason. And we didn't agree with that. You say it's this way. I say it's this way. We're going to go start our own church. That's what we did. You know. So here we are. But one of the things I wish would be done better is this. There's a multitude of topics, subjects, that Christianity does not agree on. The Holy Spirit, eschatology, gifts, you know, tongues, everything, you know. Oh, that went away with, you know, the last apostle that died off. We don't need those anymore. And over here it's like, well, we still have apostles. So, you have all these different views about everything. I wish when a person's standing up here teaching, they wouldn't just say, this scripture here, this is what it means, here we go. But rather, if there are varying views, just say, there's varying views. There's one camp that believes this. There's one camp that believes this. There's one camp that believes this. I personally land here. Here's my reasons. And each one of you pick a spot and land there and know why you're there, why you believe it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Tell Jesus to speak to you. What's the truth? What's the truth here? I never heard that in all my years of sitting there. Ask Jesus to tell you. Be like the Berean. Just don't disagree with me. I love to disagree. I shouldn't. But that's funny. I was telling Jan the other day, you know, it's like on Facebook, we could be down San Diego, take a picture of my taco and go, look what I'm eating. And 100 likes. Love it. Great. I've been there. You know, all this kind of stuff. So then I'll post something, maybe a little edgy, like something N.T. Wright might say, you know, kind of like God wants to populate the earth with his new way of doing things to bring whatever, heaven to earth. That's his plan. 5. And I could tell you, it's always the same 5. You know, so I'm just kind of like, well, I know everyone's probably seeing that because they all like the taco. But over here, that's something that's kind of like, ooh, I don't know about that. That's kind of, we'll push that aside, you know. So sometimes I just want to say, is anyone even reading this? Did anyone see it? Is there a filter that you filter some of the stuff out? You know, unfriend me on some of the stuff? So, yeah. So, what do we do? I can't remember where the scripture is, but Jesus is coming back. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about things that need to take place. One of them is the unity of the believers. I don't know if God's definition of unity is the same as ours, where everyone, you know, believes the same thing. I just don't know. I don't know if God's big enough to work that miracle. Part of the problem is nobody seems to be willing to lay their beliefs down and have God himself examine them and say, 98% of this one's good. Let's cut that off. You know, this one, I don't know where you got that. You know, this one, half of it is right on the money. You know, people hold on to their beliefs like, I base my life on this. If I let go of this, I don't know. I mean, it's like, come on. It's like, Jesus Christ is our foundation alone. Period. Not your beliefs, not your doctrines. So part of me is thinking, maybe that's what the unity of the saints is going to look like, where we all gather on the foundation of Christ alone, and just we're willing to agree that we disagree, but Christ is central to everything. Maybe that's what the unity of the believers is going to look like. Because, I mean, there's so much hatred, misunderstanding, backstabbing, backbiting, rumor mongering, everything going on in the body of Christ today. Books being written, you know, like why this, the camp that believes this, or like going to hell. I'm like, well, it's about like tithing. It's like, I didn't know that was part of salvation. You know, or eschatology, you know, the belief of the end times. If you don't believe like we do, I don't know if you're going to make it. I'm like, I never could figure that out. Like, it makes no sense. But I think some people think, like, all doctrines, everything have to be agreed on so we're all one camp, and then those people will get to go to heaven. I thought it was Jesus, but I don't know. But we must prove them wrong. And we're right, and they're wrong. We're the chosen ones. The frozen chosen. So, what time is it? Oh, we got to get going. No. Like, this is one message I'm usually pretty good at putting a bow on it, you know, bringing the ship into the dock, landing this thing. It's kind of like a vent. I was venting. Because the drive to Helena is like, you know, just, I can think about all sorts of like heavenly things and just set the cruise and, yeah, coming back was a little different. It was a little snowier. Like, is it important to believe the right thing? Yeah. Because what you believe really dictates what you do, your actions, how you see the future, how you see people, all of that. I had this thought, and this is the thought. Okay, so take it as that. I think the church is a lot more concerned about Scripture than God is. Of getting all our ducks in a row and having an explanation for everything and making all our doctrines and everything. And it's kind of like we build this little stockade around us with Scripture, you know, and then I feel so much better about everything because I got it all figured out. I think God's kind of just like, what are you doing? Like, Jesus is the Word, the living Word. He's truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not that Scripture doesn't matter, because it does. Everyone should be constantly consuming, but I think you'll draw your life from Christ. No, the Word feeds me. I'm like, well, the Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Can I just mention something, too? I think along with that relationship with the Lord, that we all work at, that it's important also to ask him for revelation, because
yeah,
in this time and season, I believe that he's bringing us into, we need to I want to find the right words. I yearn to know his revelation as to what it is that I need to do next. And when I follow through on that, it leads to him doing what it is that he wants to do through me, around me, for others. And I think that's how it should work for every one of us. Is that understandable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't, a couple scriptures I want to share with you. I don't have an answer for this yet, but we all know John 3:16. I mean, it's at every football game, you know, the sign goes up. Used to be, you know, for God so loved the world. Then there's, I think it's 1 John 2:15, somewhere in there. Do not love the world or anything in the world. You know that one? Because it said, you know, these things are not from God in the world. So I looked up those words, love and world, and they're the exact same word. So God so loved the world, but we're told, do not love the world. They're the exact same. World and love. And we're being transformed into his image and likeness. We're to be like him. We are like Christ on the earth right now. So on one hand, God loves the world so much, but we're told, do not love the world. I mean, I've heard lots of sermons, and I've probably even preached one or two. So, but I'm just like, revelation. It's like, I want revelation about that. Like, Lord, I want you to show me. What does that mean? I mean, if he leads me to someone's commentary, someone else's understanding of that, I'm fine with that. But I don't want a pat. I'm getting to the place in my life, I don't want pat answers. I don't want, well, this is what it means. It's like, I want him to speak to me, to show me. This is what it means. And I believe in progressive revelation, not over the course of time, but in an individual's life.
Yeah.
You know, we all come to know Christ, know the Father, know the Spirit, and then revelation of them is progressively unfolding. And I don't know if it will ever end. So as we make ourselves available, connect with him, more of him is revealed. All the time. And it's like Jesus told the disciples, I have so much more to tell you, but you're not in the place right now to hear it. So, and I think that's the way it is with everybody. Sometimes we're in a place where it would be pearls before swine if he tried to show you something and you weren't in a place to receive it. So it's kind of like learn everything you can where you're at, but always with a hunger to know him more.
Can I add something to what you were saying? I got a glimpse of when you were saying, I don't know how God's going to figure that out, you know, come back and we're all going to be the same thing. How's that ever going to happen? And in my just like the Lord transported me back to when I did my mom's in touchback in Seattle. And I had 10 women, and they were all from different faiths. Every mom. And they always said to me, we'll just agree to disagree. But it came to that point where we'd all sit down and we'd just say, no, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead. You know, we had our scripture that we prayed. And the Lord was just, when you said that, he brought to my mind, we had one thing in common. All 10 of us women had one thing in common. We were there to pray for our kids. That was our whole, that was what we had in common. And what we have in common as all these different churches is we have Jesus in common. We don't have to agree. If we have Jesus in common, and he is our common denominator, he is the one that saves us, that washes us, that, and he's the only one that can individually talk to people, you know, and bring you to a different way of believing. And so he just kind of took me back to that living room that, you know, I just saw myself sitting there with 10 women, and we all came from different churches. We all had different beliefs. They knew I was a little out there. They'd always just say, Daddy's a little out there, but she's okay. We accept. She's leading our group, so we'll accept. But it came to the point that after, you know, years of meeting, that we just said we're just gonna prophecy. But yet I could prophesy to their kid in my group all the time, and they take it. But you know, so I didn't speak in tongues there because that was something that they didn't agree with. So why am I going to take God's word and throw it in front of them so they can like spit on it? Yeah. So I didn't do that.
Right.
But I had Jesus in common, and we have the Holy Ghost in common. And that's what we said. We have the Holy Ghost in common.
Yes.
We have Jesus in common. And that's, I guess just when you said that, whoosh, I was in my living room with those 10 women, and we were all of different beliefs, but we had one thing in common. We had our kids in common, we had our prayer in common, and I think that's what the Lord is looking for, is what do you have in common with the Catholics, with the prayer? You know, I had, I was thinking to myself, I had a Seventh-day Adventist person ask me to pray for them, for healing. And I'm like, I have nothing in common. But guess what? When they asked me to pray, and I said, you know, Jesus is the healer. That's all I said. I said, I believe that Jesus is the healer. And she's like, yeah, I believe that too. I put my name out at the tabernacle, and they're all not praying. And I said, well, I don't think Jesus is a respecter of persons. And are they praying to God? They're saying God in heaven, so I'm going to believe that they're praying to God. So I'm going to agree that God is going to heal you. Jesus is going to heal you because he died for your healing. So I'm like, I had nothing in common, but yet here I brought it around where I was like looking at a Latter-day Saints person, and I had something in common. They believed in prayer. They might not believe in getting saved, you know, all that, but they believe in prayer. And they believe, oh yeah, Jesus is going to. So I etched towards that. I mean, that's just a vision I had when you said that. Whoosh, I was there. That's what the Lord is looking for. You don't have to agree on like healing and tongues. Do we agree that Jesus died, that he came to the earth, that he died just for you? Or do you just believe it as a historical event?
It's experience.
It's experience.
When you experience Jesus, that's the common thing.
Right, that's it. Yeah.
I was watching a show on PBS with Doc one night, probably Eddie was there too, and it was about, they were trying to step in to understand what this particular Christian, I think they were, Holy Spirit kind of church, and they wanted to step. Yeah, they were lifting up snakes and stuff. But they were trying to step into this church and find out why it was successful, why people were happy, and why things were going good. And so then they started just quantifying. Well, they have good families, they love each other, and they're all kind. And by the time they got to the end of the list, I realized that they missed something completely. They didn't realize, they don't know what the experience of Jesus Christ is and the reality of that. Mm-hmm. And so they couldn't talk about that.
Yeah.
But everybody in that church, I mean, you knew that they were believers, that they had an experience with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have, they may lift up snakes and stuff. And I have a friend that actually goes to that kind of church, but I know he loves the Lord. He's experienced Jesus. And when I talk to my Presbyterian friend, he experienced Jesus. And I know, I can see the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, even in our own denomination, we don't have a denomination right now. Even amongst the group that we claim to be amongst, there's people that say you should pray this way, there's people that say you should pray that way. And what I find is that there becomes this sort of box that we put ourselves in.
Yeah.
And it isn't the box that Jesus wants us to move as a unique individual. He made us unique, and I think he meets us in our uniqueness. Mm-hmm. He comes to us in our uniqueness.
Yes.
If we go and try to act like somebody else, is he going to meet us there? Mm. I don't think he will. I think actually that's where religion comes from. So.
Yeah. And I think like the overarching, the covering over everything is love.
Yes.
To love one another. I think God's really like opened my eyes to that. I mean, in the church, outside the church, it doesn't matter. Just he just wants us to love. You know, don't condemn, don't. That's where I really, you know, appreciate what Norm was saying about what he's doing. You know, just loving the guys, listening to them, you know, not trying to get all religious and, you know, if we were to crash this car going down the road, you know where you would be, you know. Just like, yeah, just build relationship, love people. And then, you know, if you have an opportunity, you know, share how you know Jesus and make him attractive. And not, don't point out people's failures, their sin, their everything they're doing wrong. It's just like, oh, that's not going to do anything.
No. Just a little where they're at. There's this gal, Shiloh, she's a CSM. She helps all the cashiers, and they just do work for the cashiers. They tell the cashiers where to go, et cetera, et cetera. And they, more or less, they take care of the front end. And little Shiloh, I've just developed a friendship with her, and she knows I love Jesus, and I've invited her a few times, and, you know, she hasn't come yet, but that's okay. But I started giving her hugs. And then one day she says, Marion, I like your hugs. They remind me of a cuddly bear. And so it's those things, to invest in people and to invest in their lives. And that's how it's going on with over there at the Lutheran church. I have to remember to call little Lois, you know, because she wants to go see my mom. She's about the same age. She's 83. My mom's 86. And she was a nurse. And when I took her to see my mom the first time, she was just all giggly on the inside. And there was something really interesting about Lois, though, too, is that I spent an afternoon with her, and she was speaking prophetically, and she wasn't even aware of it. And so I got, my little spirit just rejoiced, and it was just so unique how the Lord just uses the people at that church. It's really beautiful. Yeah.
So, my encouragement is take everything you believe, don't throw it away, but just lay it before the Lord. When you read the Bible, do it with the Holy Spirit. You know, ask him to show you things, unfold things, reveal things, give you understanding what it means. I mean, there's a lot that I mean, I immediately go back to everything I've been taught, everything I've heard 100 times, and I'm just trying to, like, you know, if there's anything wrong with that, just show me. And I think I'm finding out more and more, there's more I don't know. So that's a good thing. Well, let's get out of here. I'll be the last one leaving tonight, so if you need a push out of the parking lot, I will help you get out.
And Corey, too. Corey's got a good.
Yeah. If you have all-wheel drive, you'll be fine. But you made it in here. So it's all uphill from here. Okay. And let's pray for Mary Gersbach. Yes. She desperately wants to have a baby. She is ready. So we say, baby, come forth. Yeah. Okay, Cody. Yeah, as soon as you started telling me about Cody, the first thought that came to my head is, Cody is searching. He's looking. He's hungry for the Lord, but he just doesn't know that's what he's hungry for. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we pray for Cody tonight. Yeah, you're already there working in his midst. Yeah, we just pray for his salvation, that he would come to know you, Jesus. If he would have an experience, an encounter, something that he would know is real. Yeah, I just pray that you just give him discernment right now to know the real from the false. You could show him that in his own heart and life and everything that he's involved in right now. Yeah. Holy Spirit, get him. Yeah. I pray for that, for just dreams tonight. Yeah, that he would begin to have dreams that he can't explain. That somehow he would encounter Jesus in that, and he would know the real thing. Yeah, arrest him. Yeah, we pray for Lucille's neighbor. And in Jesus' name, we just break the addiction of alcohol that's got him. We command it to leave him right now in Jesus' name. We break its power and hold over him right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, leave him once and for all. And Holy Spirit, I just pray your power to work in his life and in his heart right now, that he would experience the love of the Father. Yeah, love would cover a multitude of sin. That he would experience it in a way that just grabs him. That he would just know that you're there with your arms wide open, wanting him to return home. Yeah. We just prophesy victory, overcoming in his life. In Jesus' name. And we just pray for Mary tonight. We just release the peace of the Lord into her life, into her heart right now, and just pray that she would deliver soon. Yeah, the baby is coming soon, very soon, at the door, knocking. Yeah. Yeah, completely healthy, whole, in every respect.